Well, hello everybody, and welcome to our weekly Q&A call. It's great to be here today, and don't have any housekeeping items, so we're going to go straight into Q&A. So again, star two, if you have a question, star two on your telephone keypad, or of course, you can type in a question if you're on the webcast, and I can read it here, and we can go ahead and have a discussion. So anything's fair game, as usual. Anything related to your lead magnet, the strategy, positioning, whatever you need help with, I'm here for you every week. And just a reminder, you can come to as many of these as you'd like. These are not mandatory in any way, and I don't expect everyone to be here every week, and most people aren't. So this is just a way for me to be available to you if you have questions, want to talk through any issues. I'll be here every week, and then starting in December, every other week. All right, so with that, let's go ahead and get started. And let's see, I got Sharon, who had mentioned she was going to be here. Hold on, let me get you unmuted, Sharon. We can chat. Hey, are you there?
I'm here. How are you?
Good. How are you?
Oh, awesome. Fantastic. Tired.
How's the baby?
He's great. He eats all the time. He's growing. Well, he's not really getting taller, but he's like plumping out like crazy, which is really cute and makes his pediatrician really happy. So
that's great. Oh, so happy for you. That's fantastic.
Thank you.
So I know you're probably running on fumes, right? Just maybe a little bit of sleep every night. Are you used to that yet?
Well, a little bit, and he is letting us sleep more than he did in the beginning. And, you know, we adopted him from a different state, so we were staying at the hospital with him. Then we were in the Ronald McDonald House. So now that we're home, everything's just easier.
Ah, yes. You got your routine, you got your space, and yes.
Yeah.
Wonderful.
So he lets us sleep more than I was expecting, but not through the night, of course, but that's okay.
Yeah, it takes time. Well, at least you have the right expectation. I came into this thinking, you know, baby slept 8-10 hours a night.
Oh, really?
Well, yeah, I had no idea.
They do eventually, right?
Yeah, they do eventually, but not, yeah, not right away. So, well, I know that you had some questions and concerns about positioning, and yeah, so I'm happy to talk through that or whatever you have.
Yeah, so first of all, thank you for the way that you've chunked out the content. It makes it more approachable, and it's just hilarious that, you know, as writers, this is what we do for other people. And then we go to do it for ourselves, and we get, like, really lost and confused. And I sit here thinking, well, I can take the high-level view for my clients and guide them and sort of poke them with really good questions. When I do it for myself, I get very a little lost, I guess. So I have a couple of possibilities that I could target, a couple of ways I could position myself after going through these worksheets.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm just having trouble choosing. It feels very, I guess, final. Not that I can't change it later, but I had some people I was going to be pitching to in a little while, sort of in at least two categories. And I'm wondering, if I position myself one way, do I just forget about the other people?
Ah, okay. Because they're so different.
They are. So the three areas that I'm thinking about, the first is the least realistic because I don't really have the network or any experience or specialized knowledge,
okay.
But I'm the most excited about it, and that would be architecture and green building.
Okay.
So that's just something that I think is so important in the world that we're doing. It has a lot of different components to the companies that work in the space and that need marketing. It's complex and expensive. But I really don't have any legitimate way that I could say, yeah, and this is why you should hire me for that.
Gotcha. So that's really a passion in terms of a topic that you feel strongly about. But and I'm assuming that you have some knowledge of it because you read up on this stuff.
Yeah, it feels surface level, but I think that may just be because I haven't been paid to do it yet. It's sort of,
yeah.
It's hard to know when you've really done enough reading for it to count.
Yeah. You probably know more than you give yourself credit, but I get it. You have no contrast or context. So architecture and green building, that's the least realistic in terms of your background experience and track record. What would be the next? Is there one in the middle?
There are two that would be pretty easy to sell. The first is content strategy. So that is a skill or talent focus. So I like to tell people content strategy is about meeting people where they are and giving them content that pulls them to you based on their needs and their reality and their perceptions.
Okay.
And the third one is actually instructional design and e-learning. And I have a fair bit of experience with that. And there is a lot of, you know, data I've seen that says that training and development is a growing field, and it's kind of a more complicated skill because some people want you to do more than write. They want you to write and then build the course and the development tool also, and some people will hire you to just write.
Okay. And you've done both.
I've only done writing. I know enough about the development tools to write for it. But I've not been applying for jobs where they say write and develop because these tools are so crazy complicated that I don't want to set myself up to fail, and I'm not excited to learn it more in depth than I have already.
Gotcha. And in terms of the experience you have there, what types of companies have they been?
I have most of my experience is all with one company. We were an e-learning vendor, so the advantage is I have a lot of experience coming in with very little industry expertise, but my expertise is not in learning the industry I'm training for. My expertise is in writing an experience that will be memorable and invite people to change their behavior. So it's a wonderful base for content-neutral or topic-neutral activity. Like, I don't have to know about an international financial tool to write a training on it. So I have a lot of experience across a lot of random disconnected industries in e-learning.
So the e-learning vendor, they it was a platform or software technology?
We were a company that would build online trainings for people. So some company would come and they'd say, we need like an anti-harassment training, or we have this new financial tool, or there was one about teaching low-income moms how to care for their preemies, and we were focusing on how do we write for an audience that doesn't have high literacy skills. So that was very interesting.
Yeah.
So it's just across the board.
Okay. So the other one you mentioned, the content strategy, tell me about your experience there in terms of actual client work, or, you know, even if you were traditionally employed with that.
Sure. So that came about when I was in jobs that were not necessarily asking for content strategy, but I worked in some nonprofits early in my career. And as you probably know, when you're in a nonprofit, they don't have like a writer and a graphics person and a web developer. They've got someone that does communication and you do everything. And what I found was that I had a knack for taking a step pretty far back and just zooming out and taking a high-level look at what we were trying to accomplish and facilitating some conversations about what we really needed to be focusing our energy on. And then I put a plan in place that aligned our activities with that and helped us prioritize. And then I would sit down and I would start writing our email newsletter or whatever our project was. So it was just something I found that matched the way that I thought, and then I realized that there were people who had jobs like this, and they were called content strategists, and it was a thing.
Mm-hmm. Very cool, yes. Now, have you done this type of work for clients, or has it just been with your nonprofit?
It's mainly been with the nonprofits, and I got hired as a contractor a lot to sort of help people do this specific to social media.
Uh-huh.
But that wouldn't be my thing. Like, I really am resisting the social media expertise pretty hard because for a while that was the only thing people were hiring me to do, and it just was – it wasn't enough for me to only have this one channel to be working in.
Yeah. I don't blame you. Yeah, this is a great dilemma, right? You have three choices. I mean, here's the good news.
Okay.
A lot of people have trouble because they don't really – they can't find even one thing. It just seems they either have too much and there are no patterns, or at least they're not seeing them, or they're in a situation where they're trying to seriously pivot, but they don't have anything outside of where they've done all their work. So at least you have some options here. My advice would be to just kind of hold off on the architecture and green building for now if you're looking to get some traction. Here's where my recommendation comes from. It's really based on an assumption that maybe I shouldn't be making, but if you got time, let's just say you got several months, and you know you don't really need the income, you just like you really want to. You'd rather take your time and go in the direction you want to go, and you're willing to put the effort. Then I think that one is definitely viable. I've worked with people who have gone in a similar direction, meaning they went after a market that they didn't really have any relevant experience in. It was just really more of a passion. And they're able to make it happen. But you just have to understand that there are more obstacles in your way.
Right.
You need to get that first client. And that's really the most challenging part, is getting that first client. The second one is not quite as challenging, but it's still a challenge. And then once you get two or three, then you really have a much better understanding of the opportunities and how to get in the door.
Right.
But it's a tough road, you know. I'm not trying to discourage you. It's really more based on, you know, what you need. So if you need something faster than that, then I would say, you know what, I'm going to hold off for now. And it could become more of a side project. It could become more of something. You know, I like to think of it as an investment portfolio. So, you know, this would be the equivalent of putting all your money in small cap stocks and venture funds, right? That's really risky. Now, if you can afford to lose it all, then that's fine. But my recommendation is, if you can't, if you really need to generate an income, then invest in the index funds, you know, and invest in the safer, less risky, less volatile investments. And then, but then take 10%, 20% tops of your portfolio and then have fun with it. You know, that's where you explore. That's where you go into the riskier ventures. But you're diversified. You diversify your risk that way. So it doesn't mean that you hold off for 3 years. It just means, like, look, I'm going to spend 10% in theory of my month just kind of researching options, looking at potential clients, looking to see who might need what I offer, what they're producing from a content marketing standpoint, and so forth. So you start with that. But then in the meantime, I got to pay my bills. So I got to do this other stuff.
Right.
So there's that one. The middle one, the content strategy, that's fun, and that's really cool stuff. You obviously have that skill. You can do this well, and you've proven to yourself that you can do it. The challenge with that one is that a lot of organizations they have a hard time. It's not something they're looking for. You know, when there's a need, It's a very tangible, specific need. We need someone to rewrite our website copy. You know, that is a very specific project. So But there, I've seen it with nonprofits. In fact, I'm working with somebody right now, and she, but it's taken her a while. She's developed a reputation for, she gets in the door with those kinds of projects.
Mm-hmm.
And she's got a team. It's all virtual, but she gets in, and she knows that nonprofits need, and it's a branding engagement. So it's like this branding mm-hmm. thing, but she's productized it, which I think is key. And by that, I mean she's defined very clearly what it is you get. And she's got several packages.
Right.
And, in fact, one of them is like it's a half-a-day workshop. Like, you know, develop your brand in half a day or, like,
mm-hmm.
clarify your brand. Because people, even with those kinds of engagements, people want to know, what am I going to get out of this, you know?
Mm-hmm.
They need something tangible that they can sell internally. And if it's like, oh, we need strategy. Like, nobody wakes up and says, we need strategy.
No, they don't. But they do.
They do, exactly.
They
so, but the way in there is you get in with something tactical,
mm-hmm.
and then once you're in, they like your work, they trust you, then you can have an open conversation
mm-hmm.
about the strategy. That's a proven method. So that's something to keep in mind is, you know, that so that's one where you could definitely approach. You could have on your website,
mm-hmm.
but maybe not leading with that when you go knocking on doors or
mm-hmm.
you know, when you're marketing. The instructional design, that one has the most promise in terms of getting your results sooner
mm-hmm.
and faster. But, you know, it's a question of, is that what you want to do? I mean, I'm getting the sense that maybe you like it, but not as much as the other two.
That's fair. And the problem is with instructional design, the clients tend to water the content down worse than when you're doing marketing for them. You know,
uh-huh.
they get cold feet when you do something really exciting that their learners are going to like. They start to worry. Partly because it's more corporate, it's internal facing, it's, you know, anti-harassment trainings are horrid across the board, but they don't have to be horrid. But usually what happens is you get something nuanced and then people start to worry and then the clients come in and it's harder to convince the client to stay with the quality in instructional design in my experience.
It's frustrating.
So that in that way, it's a little bit of a bum out, but when you get them to do it, it's really exciting because you've made someone's life a lot better by giving them a decent online training to go through.
Mm-hmm. So if you had to make a choice right now, which of these three do you think you would go with?
I'm not sure yet. I think probably with content strategy, just because I have had success doing it the way you describe, where someone, they need a small assignment and then it goes well. And then I can say, hey, I noticed that, you know, across the board, I see this trend in the way you're talking about yourself. And have you thought about reframing it in this way? And then people start to get excited. And it's something I've had success with already.
I think you're on the right track. It seems like the happy medium. One, there's
mm-hmm.
you don't have much. It's really a passion. The other one, there's some frustrations there and some limitations.
Yeah.
And I also get the sense that with the e-learning stuff, you're starting to get into some commoditization in terms of services because these companies, it's so transactional. They got to crank out so much of this stuff that,
oh, yeah.
You know,
oh, it's
right.
They need it yesterday.
So, you know,
yep.
If you can't differentiate yourself, and so many writers and industries like that don't,
mm-hmm.
then it's all about, you know, how much what's your hourly rate or how much you charge per word or per lesson or whatever, per minute.
Yeah.
So it's a race to the bottom, and you're starting to see it in industries like that. The content strategy,
mm-hmm.
I think if you were able to come up with something that's strategy and or the content, you know,
mm-hmm.
so a couple of different ways you could go about it, but one could be, you know, you really go towards the content and then you say, but I can also provide the strategy. I'm not just
mm-hmm.
an order taker. You know, if you need more than that, I can help you. And, you
mm-hmm.
know, if you want somebody who understands strategy, so you already got that
yeah.
part figured out, but you need someone you can communicate with. because a lot of writers are not good at that. They're just, okay, tell me mm-hmm. what you need written, I'll write it for you. And
right.
many clients don't want that. They want to be able to explain someone, let me give you the background. Let me explain mm-hmm. to you what we're trying to do and have the writer get excited and go, I totally get it. And mm-hmm. by the way, you know, have you thought of this? You know, is that a consideration or whatever? And that's, they get excited if they can work with somebody, they can collaborate with somebody like that.
Great.
So that's a, you know, so that's a project specialty, if you will.
Yes.
I think with that kind of thing, though, Sharon, I would still consider adding another layer, which is like
okay.
industry or something else. You know, even if he kept it somewhat broad, or even if you just name some attributes. For instance, I'm just making this up. Content, marketing, and strategy for companies that sell complex products and services.
Okay.
Right. It needs okay. something else because it's too generic.
Okay. Thank you.
So just, yeah, think through that. And it could be another way I've seen it is, for X, Y, and Z. So for healthcare, financial services, and high
mm-hmm.
tech. You know, but at least yeah. tell me, okay, well, like what's your domain?
Right.
In terms of topics or industries or attributes. Does that help?
It does help. Thank you.
Yeah, perfect. Well, I like it. I like where you're heading with that. So, you know, let that marinate for a little bit and see what you think. But I'm glad that you're taking the time to go through this. This is obviously key, right? Everything else flows from this.
Exactly. You know, there's no point in doing anything else till this gets nailed down in a way that feels right and passes the can you think it out test.
Yeah. Yeah. Perfect. And hey, you know what? You got the goods. So you could, this is not a pipe dream. You can actually talk about this, present yourself well.
Great. Thank you so much.
Oh, you're welcome, Sharon. As you're thinking through it, you know, any other questions, again, I mean, I'm here every week. I'm here all week, folks. I'm here all week. All right, so star two, if you have a question, you want to talk through an issue, get some feedback on anything, I'm here for you. By the way, so full admission here, I have not been very good about checking the forum. So let me check here while I'm waiting. Okay, no questions there. So the forum, by the way, that we set up in Facebook, that's really just another way to kind of get a hold of us. And if you want to pre-submit questions for these calls, you know, let's see, yeah, I can't make the next one, but I do want you to address this thing. I got this question or this concern, you know, and I can catch the replay later. So that's a good vehicle for that. All right, questions, issues, feedback. I know a couple of you on the call are starting to upload some things to your box folder. Some of you are kind of just getting back into this. So again, we're here, guys, to work at your pace. You know, this is a kind of a different engagement in that, you know, we're not doing this for 60 days and you got to kind of go at our pace and do it at a certain window. However, like I've mentioned before, we will check in on you. So if we haven't heard from you, we'll just touch base to make sure all is well. All right, let's see. I think this is Jim. Hey, Jim, how are you?
Good morning, Ed. How are you doing? We're
doing
afternoon
well.
To you, probably.
Yeah, it is. It is. But, you know, it's I could go back. I could use an extra 3 hours. I need to go back to Pacific.
Well, I'll try to use them well for you. I've been finding this process more of a struggle than I thought it would be. I did get through and I've come down through this process to come up with a final topic, and it was based on getting out to some of my clients with possible ideas on what would be an effective and relevant lead magnet. I was getting various responses. It kind of comes down to either creating a powerful white papers highlighting the firm's thought leadership, or maybe deeper prospect engagement using video marketing messages. In the end, I have to create one. And so I've uploaded some information. Now, is this information that goes into the box, is Crystal checking that automatically, or do I just schedule a call with you and then you go through that business? I'm not quite sure what the call with you is going to do here.
Okay, so the call with me is once you have decided on your lead magnet topic and type. So once you understand, here's what I want you guys to create for me. I want a checklist of, you know, these things. And here's the audience, and here's the promise, meaning like this is what I want them to walk away with if they were to read this. And you've uploaded any other files that you feel are relevant or would help me, then our one-on-one call is just for you to walk me through it. Tell me, okay, here's what I want to do, here's what I'm thinking, here's what I've uploaded there. And then, of course, ask any questions. So this is really once you've decided. Now, up until you've decided, like if you got questions, concerns, you're struggling with, you know, a couple of ideas, that's when, you know, these weekly calls come in, you know. So
Yeah,
so I'm happy to talk you through it. You know, maybe if you can share some of what you're thinking and where you might be getting stuck.
Well, I think it's just a process, or for me, it's overthinking the issue. The reason I'm part of this group to begin with is because every time I ran into the concept of writing my own lead magnet, I'd get stuck on, well, what's going to work? And going through this process here has helped to clarify a lot of that, but I was still getting stuck with what's going to work. What, you know, if I'm going to be using you guys to do this, I want to make sure it's the very best that I can get from you guys. And
sure.
and that sort of thinking, although it sounds reasonable, it can be a reason to get stuck. So instead, as you've mentioned several times, it doesn't have to be perfect. It just has to be, it has to be relevant. It has to be interesting, and it has to get going. You know, there's no point in dragging this thing out here. So I think I'm at that stage where I've sent enough information that we can have that call and go through it, and then you can correct my path if I've strayed here a bit.
Yeah, perfect. Okay. Yeah, and just keep in mind, I understand the struggle. It's this idea. We all do this, Jim. You know, we want to optimize, right? We want the absolute best for our time, money, and resources. But in a way, that's kind of an unfair expectation, unfair to you, because you're going to second-guess yourself forever. I don't know if this will help, but what's helped me with those kinds of decisions is knowing that this is not final. Meaning, yeah, we're going to put something out there, but the infrastructure, the strategy, all that remains the same. Let's say that after, you know, a few months, I want to try a different lead magnet. At that point, you know, everything else is set up. Interchanging these things is really not that same amount of work. It's a relatively small amount of effort. And at that point, what I have found is you have what you need to get it done. In other words, you struggled with the first one, but then for the second one, you have more clarity because you had this client or you had this conversation, and now you say, you know what? I should do this other lead magnet on this other thing because this keeps coming up. And then doing that is something that's not going to take that much work because the infrastructure, the strategy, the campaign is already built for you. So I'm not saying you're not going to use the one we build for you. I'm just saying, like, you know, if you tell yourself, look, this is not going to be the only thing I ever use, then you might feel a little bit better about it and then kind of get unstuck, if that makes sense.
Oh, no, it totally makes sense. And in fact, that's where I take a lot of comfort is I'm being showed the road here now to create something. Let's make it as good as we can. But there are time constraints here. We don't want to diddle with this too long. And then I can always do this again. And in fact, I will. Now, that leads me to the question. I have yet to see anybody that have two different lead magnets on their website. And maybe it's just because I haven't really been looking for it. But there's nothing in my mind that would stop somebody from, hey, you can choose this lead magnet or you can choose that lead magnet, or maybe there's three or more. Do you see any fault with that strategy?
No, not at all, because here's the thing. The way we're doing it, we're kind of separating things a little bit. Yes, your primary lead magnet, what we're doing together, that's going to, you're going to mention it on your website, right? You're going to have an opt-in form for it there. But in most cases, when you're out driving traffic to it, you're not driving traffic to your homepage. You will drive traffic to an opt-in page. It's a landing page that's specifically designed to sell, if you will, the lead magnet, which makes this a very modular approach. Because let's say that 6 months down the road, you come up with another great idea for lead magnet. Again, based on what the traction you're getting out in the marketplace. You could easily get that done, published, and then create a new landing page within ConvertKit for this new lead magnet. And then publish some things, some articles in LinkedIn, for just as an example, that the call to action is the end, at the end is to download this cheat sheet or this template. And then you give the URL or you hyperlink the text, and that's going to this new landing page. You see what I'm saying? So it's a very flexible approach in that you don't have to have both of them on your homepage. You're still going to stick with one, but that's for the everyday bread and butter traffic. But in terms of targeted traffic, it's a very modular approach. You can choose where you send people.
Okay. Fair enough. Good.
Yeah, and in fact, that's what we do. So we're up to 38 lead magnets. There's actually a few more, but we don't have them in this particular folder. And they're everywhere. I mean, we have specific landing pages for each of them. But on my website, they're only I do have two lead magnets because I have two different audiences. So on my website, High Income Business Writing, I have a lead magnet for newbies, and I have one for established writers. And so kind of right away when you get there, that we pose that question, hey, are you new? Are you established? And then we got two different offers. And based on what you choose, then we know a little bit more about you. So you can do it, but it's best to start with one. And then you could use that modular approach I mentioned earlier, which people visiting your site itself don't even see the other one, but then you're driving that specific traffic to specific pages instead of your homepage.
Okay. Yeah, that's so at the page that I would drive them to, a landing page, there may be several options they could look at there potentially.
The best practice is to keep it really focused.
Yes, okay.
So it would be like if right now I'm driving traffic right now to a lead magnet related to creating an information product. And I'm driving people to a specific page where they can download that. So I'll write an article about that, and I'll post it, let's say, in LinkedIn, and then the call to action at the end will take people to that page where they can download that that worksheet specifically for that. But that's it. There's no other offers. It's very focused. Because what you want, generally speaking, is you want the topic of the article to be about creating, in this example, an information product. Then at the end, hey, download this worksheet to find out your best info product topic for your first product. And you click on that, and on that page, it's continuous, right? You see that offer. There's nothing confusing. You read the article, and then the offer was on a topic very much related to that topic of the article. You click through, you get on this landing page that's offering you this worksheet as promised.
Mm-hmm.
One offer, one idea, all the way through.
Okay. Yeah, that does make sense. Okay.
Right. So what many people do is it's an article about creating an info product, then at the end, you know, download this checklist for, I don't know, sending warm emails as a prospecting technique. Well, that's completely unrelated. So there's going to be a huge drop-off because people, they're thinking about something else, not about prospecting.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Well, that's fair enough. I can just see then doing one thing, focus on that, give it a period of time to test it out. I don't know what baseline to compare it to because I don't have one, but that would be the first, and then try another one, say 2-3 months later, and then I have something to compare to.
There you go.
Okay.
There you go. But, yeah, we'll just go, you know, we'll assume that the first one will do well because, you know, you're taking the time to think through that sequence of events, right? And it's you're not pulling something out of thin air. This is based on the work you've already been doing, the types of clients you want to go after, the industry audiences and what they're concerned about and how that relates to the work you do. And that's a well thought out approach, so it's not, we're not throwing spaghetti at the wall.
Yeah. Okay, Ed, that helps a lot. Thank you.
Oh, you're welcome. Welcome. Great question. So at that point, once you know what, and I'll let by the way, Jim, I'll let Crystal know that that you're ready to schedule a one-on-one call too. Typically, I forget what her process. I think she usually checks in on you when you've uploaded everything, but I'll let her. I know she was out sick yesterday. Let me write myself a note. Jim, one-on-one. All right. All right. So again, guys, star two. If you have a question, you want to talk through anything. All right, let's see. Melissa typed in a question. Let's see. Melissa asks, is there somewhere on the portal that shows where we are on the lessons? I thought I had finished lesson two and clicked complete, but I found myself doing it again accidentally. You know what, Melissa? Let me see. Because I thought that once you clicked complete, it showed complete. Let me go in there myself and see. I haven't logged in this week. I haven't really checked that. So I'm going to say lesson one. You know what I think it is? I think once you click complete, it takes the complete button out. Let me see. Lesson three. Yes. Okay. I'm pretty sure. I'll confirm, Melissa, but like I had already clicked on complete for lessons one, two, and three, but not four. So lesson four says important, and there's a big green complete button. Once you've completed all sections in this lesson, click on the button above to mark as complete and return to the program portal. So let me just test it. Yes, perfect. So, yeah, great question. I'm glad you brought that up. I wasn't sure how that was working. I had done this, but I guess I wasn't paying attention. Once you click complete, which I just did for lesson four, then that complete button is gone, that's your signal that you've already gone through that particular lesson. So, yeah. Okay, then Melissa had another question here. I like the idea of doing a checklist or cheat sheet for my lead magnet on a writing personal brand /social media profiles. But notice that there are already lots of them out there when I Googled it. 5 mistakes, 5 top tips, 5 features are great. What should I keep in mind in creating one that stands out? All right, yeah, great question. I wouldn't let the fact that you've seen others dissuade you from going with that approach. And instead, what I would do is ask yourself, okay, what is it about you, your approach, that's different? Or the combination of you and your approach in your particular audience. And that one's key. So if you can get even more specific with an audience, and in fact, many lead magnet titles that I'm going to write for you guys are going to contain the target market in them. Because it's one of the most powerful things about a lead magnet is you're trying to get somebody to opt in for it. And if you have their name in the title, right, then that just tells me this is for me. You know, so that's an easy way of identifying that audience. And I think what you'll find when you probably did notice this already, Melissa, when you went through some Google searches, is a lot of them are kind of generic, like 5 mistakes, 5 social media mistakes to avoid. You know, and maybe some go as far as small businesses, local businesses, you know, coaches, whatever. But if you can drill down a little bit more, that's one way. And then the other thing is what's different about your approach and how you do it. So think along those lines, too. Like in my case, you know, like some of the lead magnets I've put out there, yeah, there are people showing you how to get clients, but I'm specifically speaking to business writers and copywriters. And I'm specifically, some of them are, okay, this is about getting your business off the ground and landing your first 2 clients quickly and safely, right? So that takes it from writing clients to, you know, how to go from 0 to 2 clients in, you know, within 4 months. Notice the difference, right? Much more specific. One of them sounds generic. The other one sounds like it would be much more for me. So, think about what's your approach like? How are you different? And this is good for you to know anyway, right? Because if you're having a conversation, you need to be able to describe that. When I'm having a conversation with someone, just going back to that example, I tell people, you know, there's a lot of advice out there on getting clients, but very few of it is designed specifically for freelance writers and copywriters in the business-to-business market. And much of it is based on theory that probably works in other markets, but doesn't consider the personality types of many writers. What I put out there takes into account that many of them are not going to have a marketing and sales background. They're introverted. I show them how to do this with less fear. I show them easy, doable ways of getting this stuff done. I focus on implementation, not on, you know, just throwing a bunch of ideas on their lap that's going to overwhelm them. So those are some of the ways that I describe my difference. And, of course, you know, you can turn some of that into a title for a lead magnet, and that's the way I would do it is, okay, how can I distill that into a lead magnet title so that it feels much more relevant and useful. Okay. So awesome. Great. Glad that helped, Melissa. And, you know, again, if you want to talk through any of this as you dive a little bit deeper, just let me know. All right. Let's make sure I'm not missing anybody. Melissa says, thanks. A great Halloween treat. Yeah, super. All right, guys, I don't see any other questions, so I'll go ahead and wrap up for today. And great questions today and great discussions. I'll be here again, let's see, next week. Our call switches over to Wednesday the 8th, same time, 1 o'clock Eastern time. So look forward to talking with you guys again. You know, I'll be here. I'm at your disposal, ready, willing to help talk through any issues you have. And listen, no question is off limits. And you can ask the same thing again, like next week, you know, if Sharon wants to come back and says, Ed, I've thought about it a little bit more, but now I'm getting stuck again, and here's what, like, please don't feel like you're maybe overstepping your boundaries, nothing like that. I really sincerely want to help you through this. I want to see you succeed. So we're all friends here, and use me and abuse me, however you'd like. All right, guys. Well, have a great rest of the day. Happy Halloween, and we'll talk again next week. Take care.